إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد أيها الإخوة والأخوات في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Still on كتاب النكاح from the book بلوغ المرام under the topic باب عشرة النساء that is the way the women relate with their husbands and the way the husbands relate with them. We have been looking at some of the ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning this. Another hadith that we'll be looking at is the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu. عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما قال From Jabir, the son of Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said, كانت اليهود تقول The Jews used to say إذا أتى الرجل امرأته من دبرها في قبولها If a man approaches his wife fi kubuliha through the front opening, that is the private part, min jubuliha from behind, that is not through the anus. This was spoken at length on in some of the previous classes. If this is done through the front opening, not through the anus, but the man approaches her from behind, the Jews will say that if such happens, كان الولد أحوال, the son will be squint-eyed. The son will be squint-eyed. Or the child will be squint-eyed. That is somebody that will be looking at you, for instance, but is looking at another person. But when you look at the person, it appears as if he or she is looking at you, but is looking at another person. So the Jews, they said, if a man approaches his wife through the right side, but he does this from behind, if this leads to pregnancy, the child that comes out of this intercourse is going to have a squint in his eye. فنزلت It was based on these statements of theirs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse نساؤكم حرث لكم Your wives are your son فأتوا حرثكم أنا شئتم Approach your farm أنا شئتم the way you like the way you like. Muttafaqun alayhi. This is agreed upon by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim. Wallahu li Muslim. But this wording is the wording of Imam Muslim. Firstly, it is not permissible for one to say what one does not have knowledge about. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَكْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِعِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. What you do not have knowledge about, don't say it. إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ. For the hearing, وَالْبَصَرَ, and the sight, وَالْفُؤَادَ, likewise the mind, كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. Allah is going to question us concerning the way we have used them all. So what you don't have knowledge about, what defeats you as a believer, is for you not to see anything about it. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refuted the assertion of the Jews here when they said, if a man approaches his wife in that way, the child will be ahwan. What is the evidence for that claim? And this they will ascribe to the religion. So that is why it is not okay for any scholar or student of knowledge to ascribe to the deen of Islam anything that does not have evidence. Because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقُولُ لِمَا تَسْفِكُ أَلْسِنَتُكُمُ الْكَذِبَ هَذَا حَلَالٌ وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ. Don't say this is halal, this is haram. This is what? Halal. Based on what your tongues are just saying without any evidence. لِتَفْتَرُ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبِ, by fabricating lies against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَفْتَرُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبَ لَا يُفْلِحُونَ. Those who fabricate lies against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never succeed. So, to say something is halal or something is haram, there must be an evidence establishing it. We all know that the basis of everything other than what? Ibadah. The basis is permissibility. وَالَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has created for you all that is on the surface of the earth. وَالَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. It is He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that has created for you all that is on the surface of the earth. So nobody has the right to declare a particular thing to be haram. Nobody has that right to say this particular thing is haram. He must bring an evidence for prohibiting that particular thing. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared to be haram, nobody has the right to declare such as halal. So both of them are sinful acts. Declaring what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram to be halal is a sinful act. Likewise, declaring what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made halal to be haram, or what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram to be halal. Both of them are equal with respect to what? The sin that they attract. So when the Jews, they said to the people of Medina, because the people of Medina will have a kind of respect for them, saying that, no, these people, they were people who ascribed to the prophets of Allah, Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and some other prophets that were from the children of Jacob, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. So at times they want to take what they are telling them. So they have told the people of Medina that approaching a woman through the front part, but from behind, that is what it will lead to, something like that. So the one who makes this type of assertion, is either speaking based on science or is speaking based on what? Religion. It is religion that has said so. Or it is science that has what? That has proved it. That if a man sleeps with his wife through this method, that this will lead to giving birth to a squint-eyed child. But there is no any scientific evidence for that. Nor is there any revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala buttressing or backing what they have said. Rather, what we have is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals this verse countering what they have said. That nisa'ukum harthun lakum. Your wives are like your farm. They are like your farm. So atu arsakum annashitum. You can approach your wife the way you like. So this tells us that the only way that is forbidden is for one to approach your wife through the anus. Through the anus. And we said the other time that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says we cannot approach the women when they are menstruating. Allah says, فَاعْتَذِلُ النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ. Avoid having sexual intercourse with women when they are menstruating. فَلَا تَقْرَبُهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ. So do not approach them until they become clean. فَإِذَا تَطَهَرْنَ. When they purify themselves, فَأْتُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ. Approach them through where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered you. Through where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered you. So if it is wrong for a man to approach his wife who is menstruating during menstruation through the place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us, then it will be more wrong for one to approach a woman through the anus. Because one is more filthy than the other. Approaching a woman through the anus is more filthy than approaching a woman that is menstruating. This we have spoken at length on it. But this hadith is just to knock away what the Jews, what the claims, that this is what will result to having a squint-eyed child. That is, if the parents they have intercourse while the man is approaching the woman from the anus, though through the right place, but from the anus. So, but this is not correct. So, there is no any scientific evidence for tracing this, and there is no any verse of the Quran or any previous book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishing what the Jews have said. So it is only done. It is only done وَمَا تَعْوَى الْأَنْفُسُ. And what they desire, that is what they said. And it is what is the greatest thing for you to ascribe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what Allah has not said. It is a great crime for you to ascribe to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam what he has not said. And that is why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that من قال علي من لم أكن, whoever ascribed to me what I have not said, فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. Such a person should be preparing for himself his abu in hell. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this. So the husband and the wife, both of them, they are free to enjoy themselves and do relate with themselves and do to play love the way they desire. The way they desire, and they can push themselves the way they desire, as long as what it is through the place of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sanctioned. It is through the place of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sanctioned. فَأْتُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ. Approach them through where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered you. So this establishes وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال from عبد الله بن عباس, may Allah be pleased with both of them, he says قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لو أن أحدكم إذا أراد أن يأتي أهله قال بسم الله اللهم جنبنا الشيطان وجنب الشيطان ما رزقتنا فإنه إن يقدر بينهما ولد في ذلك لم يضره الشيطان أبدا متفق عليه. عبد الله بن عباس reported that the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لو أن أحدكم إذا أراد أن يأتي أهله, if one of you wants to approach his wife, that he wants to have sexual intercourse with her, قال بسم الله, he says بسم الله is a dhikr. He says بسم الله. You know, in many things that we are doing or we do, you advise to say بسم الله. In many things that we do, if you want to enter the toilet, you advise to say Bismillah. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Satru ma baina a'yun al-jinn wa awrati bani Adam, idha dakhala ahaduhum al-khala." The screen between the eyes, the sight of the jinn, and the nudity of the children of Adam is that if any one of them, that is any of the children of Adam, goes to the privy and yakula bismillah, it's for him to say bismillah. So when he says bismillah, he has cleansed himself from the sight of the jinn. He has cleansed himself from the sight of the jinn. Now, apart from this, you know, the regular adhkar that you say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'is. So one can say Bismillah first, because there is a hadith establishing this separately. Then Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'is, this is another hadith. But both of them, they are what? Zikrullah. Zikrullah. A Muslim should be al-zakiru lillah, the one who is remembering Allah in all situations. Just as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have done, Aisha radiallahu anha said, "Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam yadhkurullah ala kulli ahyan." She said, "Messenger of Allah will remember Allah in all situations, ala kulli ahyan, in all his conditions, he will remember Allah subhanahu wa taala." So whenever he was going to the toilet, he will remember Allah. When he comes out of the toilet, he will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he wants to perform ablution, he will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After his ablution, he will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Going to eat, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After eating, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Going to bed, he will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Waking from his work to sleep, he will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Putting on his garment, he will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taking off his garment, he will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a Muslim is somebody that what? Yadhkurullah, he will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi kulli ahyan, in all his conditions. وَذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about those who are the good people. He said they are what? Al-Zakirin Allah Kathira. Those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot. Wa-Zakirat. Likewise, the females who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot. So, part of the situations that you are encouraged to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when one wants to play love with one's wife. Before starting the intercourse, the man is expected to say Bismillah. He's expected to say Bismillah. And that is why Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْ أَنَّ أَحْدَكُمْ إِذَا أَرَادَ, if one of you wants to approach his wife, he says, قَالَ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ, he says Bismillah, Allahumma jannibna shaytan. O Allah, distance us from shaytan. Distance us from shaytan. Now, we know that shaytan is always available. Shaytan is always available. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, huwa yarakum wa qabilu, he and his men is and they see you. In haythu la tarawnahum, where you cannot see them. So the shaytan and the jinn, they are always what? Available, they are always around. Seeing you and you can see them. So, which way you can protect yourself from shaytan and his army? Must you have your own gun and pistol, double barrel and the likes? You can't see them. They can see you. So it is only what with zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you can protect yourself from shaitan. It's only what with zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unlike when you see people who want to attack you physically, you can say what? You protect yourself by also carrying weapons against them. But the shayateen, you cannot carry weapons against them except spiritual weapons. And that is what protecting yourself by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and that is why whenever one remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan goes away from one. Shaitan goes away from one. Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may be by you doing azkar, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, and the likes. This may be what? Zikr of Allah. And remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may be by doing what Allah has asked you to do. When you do things Allah asks you to do and you get away from things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden, that is also what? Zikrullah. And that is the reason why it is very, very important that we always remember what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. Those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذَا مَتْفَأُمْ طَائِفٌ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. So if anything of shaitan affects them, tazakkaru. Tazakkaru, they will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe by remembering that this that I'm doing is haram. Tazakkaru. فَإِذَا أُمُفْسُرُونَ. And things what will be clear to them. So this is what the importance of the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, إِنَّ عِبَادِ لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلِمْ سُلْطَانٌ إِلَّا مَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْغَوِينَ. My servants, my true servants, you don't have power over them. Except those people who decide to follow you among those who have gone astray. Allah also says, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ إِلَّا أَلَّا الَّذِينَ. He does not have sultan. So, upon those that are that are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا سُلْطَانُهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَتَوَلَّوْنَهُ. A sultan, the powers of shaitan is only on those that yatawallawnahu, those that take him as friends. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِمُشْرِكُونَ. And those that associate partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as for those who are steadfast, he doesn't have sultan over them. Then how are you going to be steadfast? Is by you doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you? And by going away from things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden, and you remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all situations. In all situations. So part of the situations and conditions that you are expected to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that لو أن أحدكم إذا أراد أن يأتي له. If any one of you wants to approach his wife and he says Bismillah, that is, I'm doing this, beginning this with in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma jannibna shaytan. O Allah, distance shaytan from us. Jannibna shaytan. Distance shaytan from us. Distance us from shaytan. Wa jannib shaytana ma razaqtana. And whatever you have given us risk. You have given us risk from this intercourse that we are going to have, also distance shaitan from each. Distance shaitan from each. وَجَلِّبْ شَيْطَانَ مَا رَزَقْتَنَا. Now, if one is having sex with his wife and the man is enjoying himself. If Shaitan are share in that, so we know the implication of this. Even if there is no child that has been what written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from that intercourse, the fact that the man is enjoying himself and Shaitan is also joining in, that is what the risk could get, is something that Shaitan has also shared from. And when we say risk of Allah may be Hassan and it may be what? It may be Ghayru Hassan. The one who is what? Taking intoxicants, for instance, is risk of Allah. Despite the fact that what? It is haram. It is what? Haram. So that's why we have what is called a risk will happen. Good risk. But anything that somebody gets in this world, that he is, he lies, he puts on, is what is the risk of Allah. But there is risk of Allah that is halal, that is one that is what? That is haram. And that is the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, إِنَّ رُوحَ الْقُدُسِ نَفَثَ فِي رُعِي. That Jibreel نَفَثَ فِي رُعِي has told me, أَنَّ نَفْسًا لَنْ تَمُوتَ. That his soul will not have a taste of death, hatta تَسْتَكْمِنَ رِزْقُهَا, until it has completely his risk, وَأَجَلَهَا, and the time that he's supposed to spend in this life. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. So if you are looking for your risk, look for it in a good way. Look for it in a good way. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُنَالُ مَا عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِطَاعَتِهِ. You can't get what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you except by what? Except by obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will not make you get what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you. And if you obey Him, that will not prevent you from getting anything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you. You obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That thing will come to you. So if you think that if you disobey Allah, that is when you get it. If it's not written for you, you don't get it. So the only way you can honor yourself is for you to be obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He has written for you will certainly come to your way. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah, Allah will make for him a way out. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And Allah will provide for him from where he does not expect. From where he does not expect. But if one is getting something and one is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should never think that this thing that he's getting is because of his disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have not disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would have gotten it if Allah had written it for him in truth. And if he just disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Allah has not written it for him, he will not get it. So this is something that is important. So Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِنَّهُ يُقَدَّرْ بَيْنَهُمَا. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that they are going to have walad, a son, فِي ذَلِكَ, in that intercourse, لَمْ يَضُرَّهُ الشَّيْطَانِ, Shaitan will not harm that child, abadan, forever. Shaitan will never earn that child. What does this mean? لَمْ يَضُرَّهُ الشَّيْطَانِ. Shaitan will not harm it. What does this mean? Does it mean physical harm or spiritual harm? Is it physical harm or spiritual harm? Now scholars have said, it may not be physical harm. In that, Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is nobody, no child, that comes to this world except that Shaitan who touch it, who arm it somehow. Except Isa the son of Maryam. Except Isa the son of Maryam. So not necessarily physical arm. But for the spiritual arm, yes, it's referring to the spiritual arm, but this is what on condition that all other things are met. On condition that all other things are met. This is supposed to happen that if somebody is having sexual intercourse with his wife and he says Bismillah, Allahumma jannibna shaytan wa jannib shaytana wa razaqtana, that child is supposed to be a pious child if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees that they are going to have a child. But for one reason or the other, despite the fact that the person has said it, the child may not be pious. The child may not be pious. Despite the fact that what the man has said, Allahumma jannibna shaytan wa jannib shaytana ma razaqtana. What could be the reason for this? The reason for this is that some things have not been met. Some things have not been met. It's just like the Azkar, the Messenger of Allah, Allah will say, or some Nawafil, that whoever does so and so will be admitted into Al Jannah. Take for instance, he said, Man salla qabla al asr harban, whoever prays before Salat al asr Toraka, harrama Allah ala nas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prevent the body of such a person from being consumed by fire. Huh? So somebody now observes 4 rak'ah before Salat al asr. But the person is fornicating. The person is committing shirk. The person is doing a lot of things that are haram. Which one are we going to take? We have the hadith, whoever prays 4 rak'ah before Asr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not make the person enter fire. Then we have what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in nawma yushrik billah. فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever associates partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has forbidden a jannah to such a person. Which one is going to take precedence? Huh? This person is observing 4 rak'ah before Asr, for instance. There are a lot of things like that. But he is also doing what? Shirk. Or is fornicating. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about the good people. He says, الَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَا اللَّهِ إِلَىٰ أَنْ آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. Those that will not call other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. And they will not kill the soul that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbidden. وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. And they don't commit zina. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ. Whoever does that, maybe he calls on other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or he commits zina, or he kills a soul that has been forbidden. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا. Such a person is going to meet before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishment. يُضَعَفُ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ. Punishment to be watched will be multiplied on such a person. وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ مُهَانًا. And it will be in that punishment, مُهَانًا, as somebody who has been humiliated. As somebody who has been humiliated. وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ مُهَانًا. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ. Except for the one who repents. وَآمَنَ. And believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. And does righteous deeds. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Allah says such people is going to alter or change, convert their سَيِّئَات, their evil deeds to حَسَنَات. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. The shahid here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the person who commits zina or the one who kills a soul, that this is the punishment awaiting such a person. We now have somebody who observes nafila before Asr, for instance. He will observe nafila before Zuhr, nafila after Zuhr. He will do a lot of things that fetch reward of Al-Jannah. But the same person has also done things of what? Of air. Is this clear? So which one is going to watch take precedence? Which one is going to take precedence? Huh? So the one that what? That is more. The one that is more. The one that is more. So the same thing is applicable to the one who is saying what around Bismillah, Allahumma jalibna shaitan wa janib shaitan wa zaktana. Huh? And he is the person that is bringing the things of shayateen into his house. The things of what? Shayateen, things that will invite shayateen into his house, is bringing those things. It's also saying things that will invite shayateen into his watch, into his house. The wives, or the wife, is also saying what things of shayateen. And he's saying what? Allahumma jannibna shaytan wa jannib shaytan ma razaqtana. So, the hadith and the zikr remains the way Messenger of Allah has said it. But the issue is that it may not work. Why? Because there are some hindrances. There are some impediments that will impede that thing being what accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know Messenger of Allah mentioned the case of somebody that is mata'amu haram, mashrabu haram, what she is eating is haram, what is putting on is haram. Yamudi alayla sama, he is raising his hand toward the heaven. He is saying what? Ya Rab, oh my Lord, Messenger of Allah said what? فَأَنَّ يَسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. How is Allah going to accept the dua of such a person? Huh? Now he has raised his hand up. When you raise your hand up, the Messenger of Allah said what? إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ كَرِيمٌ. Allah is shy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is generous. يَسْتَحْيِ إِذَا رَفَعَ عَبْدُهُ إِلَيْهِ يَدَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shy that if a servant raises his hand up, begging him, supplicating, أَيَعْبُدَهُمَا سِفْرًا, that he turns back the hands to him, سِفْرًا, that is without having what he has supplicated for. Well, here is the man that is doing that, while at the same time, the man is what? He's eating haram, drinking haram, putting on haram. So that's why there is what? Things that will make our dua accepted, and things that can hinder our dua from being accepted. So as a Muslim, we should try as much as possible to do things that will make our dua accepted, and go away from things that could hinder our dua. Watch all things being equal. All things being equal, one has done the necessary things. So the dua or what Messenger of Allah had said will come to pass. لَوْ أَنَّ أَحْدَكُمْ إِذَا أَرَادَ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ عَلَهُ. If one of you wants to approach his wife, فَقَالَ and he says, Bismillah, I'm beginning this with the name of Allah, أَلَهُمَّ جَنِّبْنَا الشَّيْطَانَ وَجَنِّبْ شَيْطَانَ مَا رَزَقْتَنَا. فَإِنَّهُ يُقَدَّرْ بَيْنَهُمَا وَلَا دُنْ فِي ذَاكَ أو فِي ذَلِكَ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destined that there will be a child coming out of this relationship of them, or of theirs, لَمْ يَدُرَّعُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَبَدًا. Shaitan will never affect it. But the problem is what? Is doing it the way it should be done. Doing it the way it should be done. Now, does that mean that we should now leave what? Leave the dua since we still engage in one thing or the other? No. We continue to do it. We continue to do it. Because the one who says because is sinning, so he won't do the right thing anymore. So the one who says he's sinning, that he won't do the right thing, should not because of that stop from doing the right thing. You should continue to do the right thing, even if you are guilty of some sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَكْفُرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Don't despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah forgives all things. So even because you are sinning, then because of that, you will not be steadfast, or you will not engage in things of piety anymore. Some people will say, the sins that are committed, Allah will never forgive me. No, this is what? Al-Qunut min Rahmatullah. A Muslim would not do that. A believer will not do that. You don't do kunut from the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will not forgive you. Don't say that. At the same time, you should not have useless hope in what in the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by indulging in things that as long as what I'm a believer, there is no sin that I will commit, Allah what will forgive me. Huh? These two extremes are haram. The two extremes are haram. So, but when you sin against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you seek what? Repentance. You turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that you disappear from His mercy, or that you have useless hope in what is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something that is very, very important. We won't say because we have sinning or we are engaging in some things, so we say the dua when we are what, approaching our wives. No, we say the dua. We say the dua. Huh? And we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distance shaitan from us and distance shaitan from whatever He has decreed at the church from that intercourse. So this tells us that shaitan is always around. He's always around in many things. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that when any one of you young, he should what? He should cover faliyadra mastata. He should try as much as possible to prevent opening his mouth. Huh? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said what? فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانِ إِذَا سَمِعَ أَحَدُكُمْ قَالَ. If shaitan hears any one of you say this, that is by saying opening his mouth, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said what? فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَدْحَقْ مِنْ ذَلِكِ. Shaitan will be laughing at that. Shaitan will be laughing at that. So this to tell us that shaitan is always around. He and his men, his soldiers, they are always around. But how do we distance ourselves? How do we barricade and clean ourselves from the evil of shaitan? So this is something that is very, very important. Even when you are about to recite the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Even when you are about to do your salah, shaitan will come. Shaitan will come, will be telling you, forget this, or remember this. So, telling things that what you are not, ordinary, you are not supposed to be remembering when you are in salah. Udkur kaza, remember this. This is to tell us that shaitan is always around. But for those who are steadfast, they will fear him. They will fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاهُ. So that is shaitan that is putting fear in the hearts of those who are what is men. Or shaitan that is also making you to put in fear in your heart so that what you can be afraid of his men. Don't be afraid of them. So it is important that we know that what shaitan is always around and his men are always around. But with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our steadfastness, we can fight shaitan successfully. So we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us victory over the shaitan. As he has said, إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانٌ إِلَّا مَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ. My real servants, you don't have power over them except those who decide to follow you among those that have gone astray. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distance us from this. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال. From Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا دَعَ الرَّجُلُ مُرَأَتَهُ إِلَى فِرَاشِ. When a man invites his wife to bed, فَأَبَتْ أَنْ تَجِيَا, and the wife refuses to respond to the call of the man, فَبَاتَ غَدْبَانَ, and the man sleeps angry, لَعَنَتْهَا الْمَلَائِكَةُ حَتَّى تُصْبِحَ, the angels will be causing that is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cause or punish such a lady, حَتَّى تُصْبِحَ, until It is money until the day breaks. Muttafaqun alayhi. This is agreed upon by Imam Bukhari and Muslim. Wallahu lil Bukhari. For this wording is the wording of Imam Bukhari. This hadith is also telling us about the Ishra of Nisa, how the women relate with their husbands and how the husband relates with their wife. First of all, the marriage benefits is that the man also enjoy himself through his wife by having sexual intercourse with her. Likewise, the woman also enjoy herself through the same means. This is one of the reasons why people are married. So a man who is in need of his wife, he wants to meet the wife, then he now invites her to bed. For Abbas, the wife now refuses. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam let us know that that is not a good thing. That is not a good thing for her to refuse. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الرجال قوامون على النساء. So the men are قوامون. They are the protectors and the maintenance of the women. So the woman is under the man, and she should see herself as somebody that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed under the man. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the creator that has done it in such a way, or in such a way, that she should submit herself to the man. That the man can ask her, go, come, stand here. All this she should do. Not respecting the man, but respecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has placed the man in that place. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has given him the authority. So if she respects the orders of the man, she's respecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She's respecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَن تُعَدِّيَ إِمُرَأَةٌ حَقَّ رَبِّهَا حَتَّى تُعَدِّيَ حَقَّ زَوْجِيَا. A lady cannot carry out the right of Allah until she carries out the right of the husband. That is what the husband asks her to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala type something there. What the husband asks to do, if she does that thing, she's in actual sense obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She's in actual sense obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that she's obeying the man. And that's the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what? A woman will not carry out the order of Allah or the right of Allah until she carries out the order of the husband. So a woman that observes Salah, she fasts a lot, she does this, she does all this, but when the husband says something, she opposes him immediately. She shouts on the husband and so on and so forth. Such a woman is not respecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is not carrying out the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because part of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked her to carry out is to respect that man. If the woman is what is tall and fat and the husband is slim and short, she should respect him. By respecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now if a woman very tall and she's what? She's fat. The husband is slim and short. If there is any problem at all, the woman will sit on the man, beat him, beat hell of up. And the man will be the one crying, Ebbami, Ebbami. Then the people will watch in the compound will come out to rescue the man from what? From the beating of the woman. The woman is using the opportunity that what? She has the power to deal with the man. That's not a good woman. A good woman is one that listens to the husband. Unless the husband asks her to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded, the husband is saying, no, she shouldn't do that. Then in that case, just like the head of state, just like the head of state or the king, you have to respect the head of state, you have to respect the king. But when the king or the head of state asks you to do something that goes against that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَا تَمْعَ وَلَا طَعَ. No obedience in that. No obedience in that regard. But when the head of state is denying you some of your own rights, what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? He said what? He said, فَلَا يَزِعَنَّ يَدًا مِنْ طَعَ. He should not, because of that, say, okay, I don't respect you again, I'm not considering you as head of state anymore. So, but the case of the husband and the wife is not like that of the head of state in all the situations. If the husband is denying the wife her right, he's denying her her right. And if the woman becomes, now she's as a result of that, she has what? Justification for that. That he said the wife is not respecting the man because of what the man is not doing the necessary things. We are not talking about the things that are just that are not compulsory, the luxuries. We are not talking about the luxuries. We are talking about the necessary things. A man who does not do the necessary things and he has the ability to do it, if the wife does not respect him, the wife asks what justification for that. Now the shahid here is that a man tells his wife, I want to play with you, I want to have sex with you, and the woman, she refuses to do that. She refuses to do that. So such a woman, the angels will be asking for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on such a woman, hatta tusbiha, till the morning, till the morning. ولمسلم in the report of Imam Muslim, كان الذي في السماء ساخطا عليها, the one who is up, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be angry with her, حتى يرضى عنها, till the man is pleased with her, till the man is pleased with her. Now when a man says to his wife that I want to play with you, and the wife refuses, the man becomes angry because of that. What has that led to? It has led to what? It has led to mafia. Because when the husband is angry with the woman, with his wife, genuinely, that is what? Calling for the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the angels will also be backing that man. Because the woman is supposed to submit herself to the husband. Now the angels, they see a woman who is not submitting herself to the husband. So they will also join the man in his anger. And they will be asking for the cause of Allah, the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on such a woman. So and that's the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warns the companions. And this will also strengthen the relationship of the husband and the wife. It is wrong, or it's something that does not betray the relationship, when a man and his wife, both of them, are running after one another, fighting all the time. When the neighbor, they come in, they say, what is happening? So the wife will not be able to say that I'm denying the man. Now will not be able to say what, my wife is denying me. So, but always a quarrel concerning things like this. So this is not something that will strengthen their marriage. It can lead to the collapse of the marriage. Because the man will be asking himself, what is the essence of marrying somebody that I'll be running after, begging now before I can watch, I can sleep with her. The man will be asking himself. So this will not lead towards the strengthening of the marriage. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to have a strengthened marriage, a marriage that is well established. And part of the things that will drive one to marry, to get married, is what? Is to have intercourse and to play with one's wife. So it's a bad habit on the part of some women, denying their their husbands to have what sex or to play with them. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is strict on this to the extent that he says that if a woman were to be on the back of a camel, or to be on the back of a camel, and the husband says, okay, I want to have sex with you on that back of the camel, she should not refuse. She should not refuse. This is to tell us what? The seriousness of this aspect. But Allah musta'an, a lot of women do not understand this. They believe that what? They can what allow the men, their husbands, to have sex with them when they like, not when the husband likes. It is when they like. No. Once you get married, if the husband wants to have sex with you or with a woman, she must submit herself. Unless if that is going to have a serious negative impact on her. But if that is not the case, that is something that is not going to have serious negative impact on her, she has to submit herself. She has to submit herself. Whether she's interested or she's not interested. Whether she is interested or she's not interested. So most women is when they are interested that they submit themselves. When they are not interested, I'm not in the mood. But this is not correct, as Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned. Anytime the man requests, as long as God is not going to have serious negative impact on the women, she has to oblige, she has to submit herself. Now one may ask, what if a woman requests that the husband sleeps with her? Is it also compulsory on the man to be doing that anytime the woman requests for it? The answer is no. But the man should also try to satisfy the woman as much as possible. But it's not compulsory on the man to respond anytime the woman calls for that. The reason is that الرجال قوامون على النساء. So this order, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it to the man, that the man can call the woman anytime. As we shall read, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if a woman is fasting, a voluntary fast, the man has what? The right to ask. And that's why he discourages the woman from fasting, a voluntary fast, without the knowledge of the husband. Because if the husband is in need of her, and she's what? Fasting a voluntary fast, the husband has the right to tell her to break that voluntary fast. It is only compulsory fast that he cannot tell her to what to break. But the voluntary fast, the man has the right, and she has to obey. If she does not obey, she has also what is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, sometimes we say, I want to move closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are preventing me. What the husband is requesting from you is also something of what? Kakarub, something that with which you can what? Move closer to Allah. At that time is better than what? The fasting, the voluntary fast. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said what? Wa fi budi ahadikum sadaqah. When you have sex with your wife, you are doing what? Sadaqah. And the companion said, Ayati aduna shahwatahu yakunu lahu fi ajrun. So you are saying that, when one of us enjoys himself or ourselves, he will have reward? Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Araita lahu wada'a fi haram akana alayhi wizrun. If he satisfies himself through something that is haram, is he going to be any sin? He said, yes. He said, kadhalika idha wada'a fi halal. So you should have reward if he puts it in something that is halal. But the problem with most Muslims today is that we do not know how to prioritize things. When we know how to prioritize things, we know things that what, if we do them, we get huge reward. And things that what, if we do them, the reward is not as huge as the other one. So the man, Allah has given him that right. Has given him that right. That anytime he calls the woman must respond. Even if the woman is what? On the back of a camel. Another hadith, even if the woman is what? Is cooking. Even if she's cooking, she has to leave that. And what? And respond to something that will give her reward, that will fetch her reward. Because that thing is not just satisfying the sexual urge of the man, it's also something that is going to fetch her reward. By what? By obeying her husband at that point. She's going to get the reward for that. Now we say her husband, not somebody who has established a family through what? Through a haram source. Through zina. We are talking about somebody who goes to the parents, the father, the wali of the lady, and they give her out in marriage. That qiwama Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it to him. الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما انفقوا من اموالهم فالصالحات قانتات حافظات للغيب بما حفظ الله. The verse is clear. And other ahadith also buttress this verse. فالصالحات, the righteous women, are قانتات, are women that obey their husbands. So the issue of having sex with the wife is not when she likes. No, it is when the man likes. And if she's also interested in something like that, the man should try as much as possible to also attend to her. But the obligation on the man is not like that. It's not like that on her. The one that is on her is attached to the issue of what? Kiwama. Is attached to the issue of Kiwama. That he is the man, is the one that is the protector and the maintainer of that, of the woman. So the Iwama is given the man the right to call her anytime, any day. Anytime, any day. Now, when we look at the hadith, when the hadith says, لَعَنَتَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ حَتَّى تُصْبِحَ, the angels will be cursing her until the day breaks. Until the day breaks. Does that mean it is only restricted to the night? That is, if he invites her in the afternoon or in the day, that this is not applicable. The scholars will say it is any time, whether night or in the afternoon. But because most of the time this will happen at night. So they say this hadith, kharaj al-makhraj al-ghalib, is addressing what is preponderant. It's just like when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, addressing the masters who had slaves, female slaves. Allah says, وَلَا تُكْرِهُوا فَتَيَاتِكُمْ عَلَى الْبِغَاءِ إِلْ أَرَدْنَا تَحَصُّنَا. Allah says, don't force your fatayat, your female slaves, عَلَى الْبِغَاءِ, to commit zina. إِلْ أَرَدْنَا تَحَصُّنَا. If they want to be changed, if they want to be changed. What is the مفهوم المخالفة here? The opposite understanding of this part of the verse. وَلَا تُكْرِهُ فَتَيَاتِكُمْ عَلَى الْبِغَاءِ إِلْ أَرَدْنَا تَحَصُّنَا. Do not force your female slaves to commit zina if they want to be chaste. The practice in the Jahiliyyah is that somebody who has two female slaves, because they want money. Because they want money. So they will rent out those slaves or those girls that people sleep with them, and they will be the one to get what? The price for that. And that's the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Mahru al-Baghi Khabith. That is the price that al-Baghi, a prostitute, gets from that act is Khabith, is haram. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't practice that. In Arabna Tahassuna, if they want to be church. So the mafhum al-mukhalafa, the opposite understanding is that what is permissible for you to watch, to force them to commit zina if they do not want to be chaste. It's permissible. But if they want to be chaste, don't force them. But if they do not want to be chaste, you can watch. Is that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about? So they say what? This, you can't use the mafhum al-mukhalafa. The opposite understanding should not be taken from it. Because that hadith ayah has come to address what was preponderant then. That people will be practicing something like that. He not told them, Allah told them that they should not do that thing. That is what the ayah is talking about. Not that if those ladies or those girls do not want to be chased, that the masters can practice that. So this scholar will say, kharaja makhraja al-ghalib. The statement has come to address what is preponderant, what is commonplace. How to explain? So the same thing, it has come to address what was commonplace. It's just like when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about women that you cannot marry. He said, wa ummahatu nisa'ikum. Wa ummahatu nisa'ikum. The mothers of your wives. The mothers of your wife, you can't marry them. وَرَبَائِبُكُمُ الَّتِي فِي حُجُورِكُمْ. And your rabaib, the rabiba is what is a stepdaughter, that is your wife, was married to you, a man before. Maybe the man died, or the man divorced her. After that, she got married to you. The daughter that woman left somewhere, that daughter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa rabaibukum, and your stepdaughter, you can marry them. Allati fi hujurikum, those that are in your houses. Those that watch are in your houses. That are in your houses. Min nisa'ikum allati dakhaltu bihinna. They are from, that are from your wives that you have watched, you have slept with. As I've given the example, a lady, a woman was married to a man before. Maybe as a result of divorce or death, she left that man. Then you now marry her. But she had a daughter there. Allah says you cannot marry that daughter. You can't marry that daughter. But when you look at the verse said what? وَرَبَائِبُكُمُ اللَّاتِ فِي حُجُورِكُمْ. That are in your houses. So can we understand that if they are not in your houses, you can marry them? I know at times a woman will have a girl somewhere to another man. But maybe the man is late or something like that, or the man does not care. So the woman go and remarry. She will remarry and she will take that daughter of her from that man. She will take her to the new husband. We know that is not something that is common. Now, the lady, the Rabiba, the stepdaughter, is now living with the man and a mother. So if you want to go by the apparent meaning of the verse, you say that girl living with you and a mother, you can't marry that girl. But what if she's not living, if the girl is not living with you, with the mother, she's somewhere else. The mother is under you. If the mother now dies, can you marry her? She's not living with you. The mother dies. Can you marry her?
No.
Now, yes, if you have not, now we are talking about things that you have entered upon us. Now, this is something that is important, because there are a lot of things that we attack and we oppose, maybe ignorantly. Somebody proposes to a woman, and Abdu is done. Abdu is done. Later, before consummating the marriage, the man now wants to opt out of the Abdu, the Nikah. He now opts out of the Nikah. He has not touched the woman. Is it permissible for the man to go and watch to marry the daughter of that woman? Huh? Yes. Leave the issue of whether the custom practices or not. Huh? You know, what you come to mind is that somebody has proposed to the mother, is now proposing to the, not proposal now, proven act has been done. Only that what? Consummation has not taken place, so the man divorces the woman. He now decides to go for the daughter. Is it haram? So that is what he's referring to. That وَرَبَعِبُكُمُ الَّتِي وَرَبَعِبُكُمُ الَّتِي أُجُورِكُمْ مِنْ نِسَائِكُمُ الَّتِي دَخَلْتُ بِهِنَّ وَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُونُ دَخَلْتُ بِهِنَّ فَلَا جُنَحَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُونُ دَخَلْتُ بِهِنَّ If you have not slept with them, you have not consummated the marriage, فَلَا جُنَحَ عَلَيْكُمْ So no sin, there is no sin. You can marry the girl, and you can leave the mother. But if you look at the verse of wa ummahati nisaikum, ummahatu nisaikum, the mothers of your wives, this is whether you have consummated them or not. So somebody proposes to a lady, Abdu has taken place, she has become the wife, but no consummation. The man wants to go for the mother. Permissible or not? Huh? You know, in the case of the mother, we said it is permissible that if a man does back to his mother and he wants to go for he now does what? Divorce, he wants to go for the daughter. This is what permissible. Clear verse of the Quran. Now, in this situation now, a man proposes to his sister, Abdu has been done. That is, she has become what? The wife of the man. But the man wants to divorce the girl. He has not consummated it. No consummation. Just as he didn't consummate that of the mother, he has not consummated it. Can he go for the mother? No. What's the evidence for that? Hurrimat alaykum mahatum. So we are not said what? Wa ummahatu nisaikum, the mother of your wives. The woman, whether you consummate her or not, the girl, whether you consummate her or not, she's your wife. Whether you consummate or not, as long as what I have to has been done. And that's why it's something that is happening. You see a lady that Abdu has taken place, they've done Abdu, and she says, okay, I'm no more interested. And that, they won't be what? They won't be talak. No khul'u, no talak. This is a common practice. Because she believes that what, as long as she has not moved to the house of the man, no marriage has taken place. That is what? Erroneous belief. If Abdu has taken place, the wali has said what? I give my daughter to you in marriage. Abdu has taken place. Henceforth, the lady is the wife of that man. If they want to separate them, this must be through talaq or through what? Khulur. Through talaq or through khulur. But I am not interested, I am not interested in women. That is not Islam. That is what? That is ignorance. That is not Islam. So this is important. The shahid there is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وربائبكم اللاتي في حجوركم and your stepdaughters that are in your houses. So the qayd here في حجوركم is what you are emphasizing. What if they are not in our houses? Does that mean they are permissible? Huh? Maybe they are living somewhere else. Somewhere it's not permissible to us to marry them. As long as what? They are our steps or daughters. Huh? So if the mother is no more alive, we cannot marry her. Or if we divorce the mother, we cannot marry her. How to explain? So the qaid here is what? Qaidun aghlabi is a condition that is what? That is addressing what is preponderant. What is preponderant? That is something that people will do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them that no, you can't practice that. So the same thing is applicable here. When Allah subhanahu, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said hatta tusbiha, until the day breaks, does not mean that it is restricted to the night. If the man calls his wife to bed in the afternoon, she has to respond. She has to respond. And her response is ibadah. Her response is ibadah. Because Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam let us know that إِذَا صَلَّتِ الْمَرْأَةُ خَمْسَهَا, if a woman observes a 5-day prayer, وَصَامَتْ شَهْرَهَا, and she fasts the month of Ramadan, وَأَطَعَتْ بَعْلَهَا, and she also obeyed her husband, وَحَصَّنَتْ فَرْجَهَا, and she protects her private parts, قِيلَ لَهَا, it will be said to her, أُدْخِلِ الْجَنَّةِ, enter al-Jannah min ayy abwa bi ashid, through any of the gates. Now the shahid here is what? Wa ata'at ba'laha, she obeys her husband. She obeys her husband. When we say she obeys her husband, not at all, the husband is telling her, observe salah, fast, do this. This is what? Things that are clear, these are the commandments of Allah. But the other part of it is what? Allah commanded the lady to obey the husband. So the husband says, sit there, don't go. She has to sit. Huh? Anything the husband asks her to do, she will do that. That is a sign of what? A salihah, a righteous woman. For salihat, qanitatun. The righteous women are those that obey their husbands. Hafizatun, tilghayb, ma hafizallah. They also protect their, the ghayb, that is, the hidden things. They don't expose their nudity to others than their husbands. When their husbands are not around, they don't cheat them. So حَافِظَاتُ الْغَيْبِ مَا حَافِظُ اللَّهِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning those who were practicing nushuz after that part of it. وَاللَّهِ تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنَّ فَعِذُهُنَّ وَحْشُرْهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ وَضِرِبُهُنَّ وَإِنْ أَطَعْنَاكُمْ فَلَا تَبْغُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ سَبِيلًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيًّا كَبِيرًا. So we have talked about this before. So it is very, very important. Now concerning the issue of a woman requesting from her husband to play with her, have sexual intercourse with her, how many times does she have the right to do this in a year? Some scholars said 3 times. Where did they get it? They said a woman should not be left for a period of 4 months. Huh? Should not be left for a period of what? 4 months without having sex with her. This is like what? Pushing her towards. Unless if she does not ask for that. They now take a 4 months, that was what? 12 months, a year. So she does not have the right to ask more than that 3 times in a year. But this is just a deduction. Huh? It's not a clear text. Because it was said that Umar radiallahu anhu asked Hafsa also that for how long can a woman bear missing her husband? Huh? That a woman will be able to work to exercise the patience when she misses her husband. So Hafsa was reported to have said 4 months. That is, after 4 months, she will be feeling what? A kind of or becoming uncomfortable somehow. So this was used as basis that most of the of those who have gone on the expedition to fight, so they will return them home after every performance to come and take care of their family, so that the woman will not feed them so much to the extent that thought she will push to zina. So some scholars, they use this as what basis to say, okay, that means she has the right to ask for every performance. But as we said, the correct opinion is that she can ask more than that. But this is also based on the ability of the man to satisfy a request. So Allahu A'lam. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لعن الواصلة والمستوصلة والواشمة والمستوشمة متفق عليه. From Abdullah ibn Umar, he said that Messenger of Allah Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم لعن الواصلة, he caused الواصلة. This is still under Al-Ishra. A woman wants to adorn herself to the husband so that she will be looking attractive to the husband, which is something that is what? Good. As Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the best of the women is the woman that is the woman that when you look at her, paratic, you will be pleased with her when you look at her. When she appears to you, you are pleased, you are happy. That's the best of a woman. We talked about this last week. So a woman that dresses in a very awkward way when she's at home, she's not a salihah. A salihah is a woman that dresses in order to attract her husband. Unlike what most women do today, that they dress when they are going to parties and when they are going to occasions, they dress. But when they are at home, most of the time, because at times a woman will have to dress, maybe she's in kitchen and the like, to dress shabbily. But not all the time, but a woman when she's at home, she's always in the kitchen garments, stained with different things. And such a woman will sit very close to the husband, and she wants the husband to also watch, not to be shifting from her. And maybe she's sweating. The husband will not want to watch, to be with her in a situation like this. Somebody narrated a thing that happened between a military man and his wife. This man, maybe have not slept with his wife for more than 2 or 3 years or so. So the man would just come in and would go to his place of work like that. So this woman now went to a top military officer who is a boss, so to say, to that husband of her. She now lodged these complaints that my husband has not been having sex with me for the past 2 or 3 years. In fact, he'll be running away from me. If I come to sleep with him on the same bed, he'll get up and sleep somewhere else. So I don't know what I can do. I want you to call him and watch, to call him to order. This top military officer now said in that lounge. Said, okay, what is your work? What are you doing? The man says, I'm selling fish. The top military officer said, don't worry, I've known the reason why the man is running. You know, when after selling your fish, when you go home, take your bath and apply perfume. Go and sit with him. So this woman took the advice of this military man. When she got up, she took her bath and she applied perfume and went to the man. Before she knew anything, the man was the one playing with her and he likes. So the following day, the woman went and said, ah, the man had changed though. He started what, thanking the top military officer for the advice they have given. So without summoning the husband, the man knew what could be the cause of the husband running away from her. So a lot of things that can be settled if the woman does things the way she should do them. So this is important. What I'm trying to say in essence is that a woman who dresses to attract the husband, there is nothing wrong in this. But she must not dress with something that is haram. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called the woman that to attach another to her hair to attract the husband. It is good for a woman to watch to attract the husband, but not with something that is haram. So attachment to the hair is haram. And Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam calls those women that are doing that. Now whether attachment with another woman's hair or attachment with a synthetic hair, they all have the same thing. Because to differentiate between the synthetic and the one that is not synthetic will be difficult for somebody who says it. And that's why scholars will tell you that putting on rings, you know, it is permissible for a man to put on rings, even if it is made of silver, even if it is expensive. But putting on a gold ring is haram for the man. Now somebody is now putting on something that is not gold, but is giving it the coloration, so to say, or the color of gold. Now when you look at it, you say, okay, this person is putting on maybe golden ring or golden watch, and it's not gold. It's not gold. So is it permissible to put on things like that? No, it is not permissible. Because the one who sees you will think that what you are making use of what? Of gold. And that's the Messenger of Allah, Allah, Allah forbid that. But with respect to silver, the men can put on silver. He said what? Fala'abu biha, you can play with this, you can do anything with silver. Only that what you should not put on ornaments or adornments that will make you copy the women. That is the only area that the man cannot put on some silver adornment, so to say, that will make them look like the women. But if it's something that is within what the man can put on, it's permissible to use the silver. Whether it's expensive or not, it's permissible. Now, with respect to the women, now using synthetic hair to join their hair, this is not permissible. During the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a lady fell sick and she lost her hair. So the mother wanted to join another hair to her so that what she would look presentable to the husband. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said what? The wasila is scorched. Wal mustawsila. And the one who takes that as a profession, so to say, who is doing that for people, is not allowed. Whether synthetic or natural air, it's not permissible. Likewise, wal washima, wal mustawshima, and the washima. The washima, washmu, is to pierce the body with needle. Then you now put some things, like coal or stencils like that, they put it so that what it becomes black and the like. What people do, they write everything. So this is called washing. It is also haram. And this fiber mark also falls under it. Fiber mark also falls under al-washing. It's not permissible in the Sharia. Now as for those who have done this, afallahu anna salah. But for you to have a child and you say, okay, I don't want to forget my forefathers and this is our tribe, this whatever, it is haram, it's washing. Messenger of Allah calls those who are doing it. And the women who are doing this for people, they are also cursed. They are cursed. So this is not permissible. So for a man or for a woman to say, okay, I want to do so and so mark, so and it will be what, by piercing, and this will be filled with something that will have leave a permanent taste, so to say, on the body, this is not permissible. It is good for a woman to decorate herself, to adorn herself, but not to this extent, not to the extent of what attaching hair, whether synthetic or natural, and it's not to the extent of piercing the body by making a tribal mark or making writing something on your body. This is what is haram. It is haram to do. So we should avoid it as Muslims, the people practicing. But it's something that's not going to be permanent, like the khilaf. So this is permissible. It's permissible. The Messenger of Allah Muslim will encourage that the women do that, to adorn themselves to the husband. This is good, because this is not permanent. But the one that is going to leave a permanent mark, this is not permissible, it is haram to do. So with respect to the attaching something to the air, scholars, they have some difference of opinion, so to say, on some issues. Now, can one you make use of this thread to also to place the air, the core rubber to place the air? Is this permissible? According to majority of the scholars, this is also not permissible. This is not permissible. Because of the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu, Zajar al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Tetla al-Mar'atu bishari ashayyan. Messenger of Allah reprimanded that a woman join anything to her. So they believe that nothing should be joined to the air. So the thread should not be joined to the air as well. So this is the majority's opinion. However, some scholars are of the opinion that if this thing does not look like air, so it can still be used. So some scholars are of this opinion. But what most scholars are upon is that this is not permissible. So but the most important thing is that what it is established, the natural air is established. The synthetic air, there is no difference between the synthetic air and the natural air. Some lady, when you see them, you see they have long air, one may think that what it is natural. Huh? It is only when you have close look, you see that what they have attached something to their air. So this tells us that it is difficult to differentiate between the natural air and the synthetic air. So it is not permissible to add natural air to one's air, and it's not permissible to add synthetic air because of the land the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has done for them. And when we say land, this is distancing somebody from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and if this were to be permissible, the lady that was sick and had his air falling, the Messenger of Allah would have allowed her to do that, because this is what she's going to make her more beautiful, so to say, to the husband. But despite this, Messenger of Allah did not sanction it. So inshallah, we stop here. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in knowledge. May subhanahu wa ta'ala make our feet firm on his path and give us understanding of the deen and accept our ibadat. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك لا